Good morning. It's 8:19. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. Joining me on the phone lines right now, we're talking to U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Senator Bozeman, thank you for your time. We appreciate you.
Hey, Jonathan. Thank you all, as always, for having me on.
A lot of things are going on that we can talk about. Right now, as you know, tensions are high between the United States and North Korea, as North Korea has threatened a missile strike on Guam after language between the two nations has become more hostile recently. What are your thoughts on how the United States should respond to threats from North Korea?
Well, there really aren't any good options out there, and I think we need to leave them all on the table. The fact that we were able to get the Chinese and the Russians to go along with us, passing a National Security Council thing in the UN, that really was a great victory, and probably we're not talking about that enough. It's unusual, you know, to get those two to actually, there's lots of rhetoric, but to actually vote that way. So I think the North Koreans are feeling the pressure. We need to keep it up in the sense that if they develop, and they already have developed, but if they go forward with the ballistic missiles and then continue to build their nuclear armaments, the concern is that South Korea will go nuclear, Taiwan will go nuclear, Japan, you'll have nuclear proliferation in that part of the world, which would not make any of us any safer. So I think the president is actually doing a good job. His rhetoric has souped up. But on the other hand, this is a culture that really the only thing they understand is strength and the fact that we are serious about this.
Well, that leads to the next question. I was going to ask you about the rhetoric that the president is using words like that the United States North Korea be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. You know, Senator John McCain told an Arizona radio station that he was very concerned about that kind of rhetoric, saying, quote, "I'm not sure if that helps." Do you think that his rhetoric helps or hurts the situation?
I don't think we know yet. I do think that you know, these are the kind of things that will get the North Koreans' attention. I think it's gotten the world's attention and really does highlight the fact that we are very, very serious about this. We've kind of piddled around for the last several decades. We've gotten ourselves in this situation, and it is a very, very difficult situation that the president's inherited. The sanctions that I talked about that the UN is going to impose is going to be worth about $1 billion, which is a bunch in their economy. Hopefully, the president and others, the Chinese, the Russians, that whole part of the world working with the Western world, will galvanize and come up with a strategy, to really isolate this regime so that they understand that if they're going to go down this path, there really is a price to pay.
I think a lot of Americans who are really concerned about what could happen and also looking at preparedness. Is the United States prepared to fully handle the consequences of what could happen on something like this? What do you think?
Well, I think that's a very good question, Jonathan, in the sense, there's some things, you work hard and you try and prevent this and that. On the other hand, that is something that is very, very difficult. On the other hand, there's no excuse for not being prepared. So we need to be looking, and we are, but we need to be looking very, very carefully at, our abilities to, if we did have an attack, how we would respond in giving care and things like that. That's something that needs to be front and center at the present time. Especially, we've got North Korea, but you've got the same situation brewing in Iran. And, these folks, despite, what has been said with the treaty and things like that, even if the treaty, if they don't cheat, after 10 years, they're able to do whatever they want to do. We've legitimized them getting nuclear weapons. And this is a group that, for religious reasons, feels like, war and mass chaos is not a bad thing. So, just lots of these types of issues going on. But our preparedness, making sure that we have in place the resources to take care if we were to be struck is got to be right at the top of the list.
U.S. Senator John Bozeman joining us here on KASU. Senator, when the Senate comes back after the break, do you think health care is going to be looked at again?
I think it will be for sure. And, you know, there's a lot of concern. Right now, the only answer to trying to keep premiums down somewhat is just bailing out the insurance companies. And the president is doing right now, you know, on a monthly basis. The court has said those payments are not legal. So that's all being worked with. But at some point, my concern is the president's going to get tired of doing that and force the issue. And so it is something that we need to continue to work on and find a solution that helps those that desperately need it, the children, poor children, people that on disability, the elderly that have become impoverished. You know, those have got to be right at the top of the list, and then take care of as many others as we can. There is a limit. There is a finite limit. There's a finite limit to the amount of money. But this is something that's going to continue on this fall, and hopefully we'll get some, you know, both sides working together and come up with some real answers.
Well, why is it such a problem for answers to come from Republicans, especially when they've had 7 or 8 years to come up with a plan? Why are we still having these issues now if repeal and replace is something that has been a priority for Republicans for a long time?
Well, there's a number of different plans out there, and they are, you know, they're everything from basically saying, here's the money to the states. Governors, you do a tremendous job. You know, take care of it. To more prescriptive, you know, ways of doing things. So there are a number of ways. The problem is it's 16-18% of the economy. You've got some states that expanded Medicaid, others that didn't expand. You've got large states that, you know, big economic powerhouses. You've got other rural states, and they all have different needs. And so it's just, it's hard to craft a solution. We were within a vote, and I think many thought that Senator McCain would vote to go ahead and put it in the conference so that we could continue to talk about this and come up with a, you know, a real solution. So we were a vote short. There's lots of people now working to see how we can get that done, and would love to have some Democratic support, too, until it got to the point it looked like we were going to get this passed. You know, the mantra on their side was, Obamacare is wonderful, you know, everything is fine, you know, no problem. So now, you know, they have said that they are willing to talk and come up with solutions. To be honest, I haven't heard any solutions out of them except for the fact of going ahead with payments to the insurance companies, those continuing to increase, and essentially bailing out the insurance companies every month.
Well, with that, I know that Senator Schumer had at one point said that you know, trying to ask Republicans to be able to work with Democrats on these things. What's it going to take to be able to get both Republicans and Democrats together to be able to cross the aisle and work together to come up with a plan? Do you see what's it going to take, and do you think that's going to happen?
I think it is happening right now. Senator Alexander from our neighbor in Tennessee, who's you know, very, very well respected on both sides. He's the head of the Health Committee, and Senator McConnell has charged him, you know, with going ahead with hearings, which is under his jurisdiction, his committee. So they're going to start that this fall and, you know, go the committee route, and certainly Democrats will be very, very involved in that process.
Let's switch focus here real quick as we're running out of time. Some of our listeners were curious about, since you're back in Arkansas, there have been opportunities for town hall meetings to take place, and as of yet, you've not attended them. Why is that? And our listeners are curious, do you plan to attend any town hall meetings in the future?
Well, I've had some invitations from some of those groups that the structure sucks. You get there and you're shouted down. You're not allowed to actually communicate with your audience. And I meet with, you know, anybody, anywhere, and I think that everyone realizes that I'm very, very accessible. But I don't see that you're really getting anything done in the sense of getting yourself in a situation like that. And I think because of the experience that, you know, the delegation has had, you're not going to see much participate from participation from anybody. I've always said that you can, be in a situation where you could not agree, but you don't have to be disagreeable. And that's really what those types of venues that the inviters are asking you to come to, I don't see anything beneficial in that at all. In fact, I was the keynote speaker about a year and a half ago in Little Rock about, increasing civil discourse. And I spoke, and then everybody broke up into little groups and things. But right now we're in a situation where there's a group that really feels like, the way to get things done is shouting down people, being rude. And I just don't see anything productive of that at all.
So how do you think that we should, how can we all kind of come together, if you will, to be able to, because there are some people who have some legitimate concerns, and some people say, well, if you hold the office, then you should be able to meet with your constituents and that. How do we get there to that point to where those meetings can happen? How do we go from there?
Oh, no, I meet with people all day, every day. And I'm throughout the communities, visiting with all kinds of folks. I'm in the schools. I'm in the businesses. You name it. So if somebody would like to meet with me individually and talk about any issue, they can call the office. And we've got several offices stuck throughout the state just for that reason. And I'll be glad to make an appointment and talk to them and hear them out. But I think that's very, very different, trying to get an outcome as opposed to, and I know that you all probably covered some of the, the things that have gone on in different events in your region. But the idea that is productive when you show up in good faith, trying to respond to questions and are just shouted down, that's like fifth grade. It just doesn't work.
Senator John Bozeman, I just have just a few seconds here. I do want to ask you, and we probably won't get a chance to get into all of this, by way of agriculture, just shifting your focus. There seems to be a thought of shifting focus to opening up markets like agriculture markets to China. Governor Hutchinson's been talking about that. Quickly, if you can, do you think that the Cuban market will ever fully open to the United States? And what are your thoughts on maybe shifting focus to China?
China is such a tremendous market. I think there's great potential there. And so, yes, we've got to find new markets for our agricultural community to do well. It's really the only region where we're a net exporter. You hear all about the trade imbalance and stuff, but we're sending out a lot more food. And so we can be very, very proud of that. So we're working hard with the Chinese. We've had some great inroads lately, which we're very pleased with. And then also the Cuban thing is hanging out there and continue to work on that. It's interesting, the president was careful not to actually, as he kind of ramped things back up in the sense of rolling back some of the things that the president did, they were very careful to leave out agriculture. And so I think they left that door open on purpose. And I'm working with Senator Rubio and some others to see, what they will accept. But I think we do have a good chance of getting that done. The Cubans have to buy about 80% of their food from someplace. And, it's hard to argue, well, why not the United States? And so we'll be working with some of our friends that have a different view of Cuban policy and see if we can come to an agreement that's good for everybody.
Senator John Bozeman, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you can listen to these congressional interviews back on our website on KASU.org, also on our podcast as well. You can subscribe through KASU for congressional interviews. It's right now 8:33. You're listening to Morning Edition. I'm Jonathan Reeves.